Cordette. Okay, there we go. Welcome to the Poetry Show on www.enlightenradio.org, broadcasting on Wednesdays, usually around 10, unless something gets in the way. And my system now gets the podcast up the next day. It's really gotten much better. Welcome today. It's the first day, second day? What is this? Third day of the new year, 2024. And, I'll skip some of the nonsense I said earlier that when I forgot we were not on tape. And welcome Janet Harrison, my host and good friend, here to today's poetry show. Janet, what you got?
Well, I thought we'd welcome the new year with some of our favorite poets. Okay. So I picked a poem by Naomi Shihab Nye, a poem by Jane Hirschfield, a poem by W.S. Merwin, and my favorite of all the poems that have ever been written about the new year, a poem by Denise Levertov, which will be the poem we go out on.
Okay. All right. Well, I read two of them that you said, but the one by Jane Hirschfield and the one by Naomi Shihab Nye. Both of which I thought were charming. You know, I thought the one by Naomi was, I had to read it a couple of times, so it was a little difficult to read.
Well, we'll read it twice then. I can read it.
Recording in progress.
Oh, be quiet. Hold on. Uh oh. What did I just do?
Recording in progress. Audio. We had a little bit of a glitch there. But anyhow, we're going to open with a poem by Naomi Shihab Nye, and it's called Burning the Old Year.
Yes.
Burning the Old Year. Naomi is a Palestinian-American poet. She's written very movingly about issues in the Middle East from a poetic point of view. But this is called Burning the New Year by Naomi Shihab Nye. One of my favorite poets. Letters swallow themselves in seconds. Notes friends tied to the doorknob, transparent scarlet paper sizzle like moth wings, marry the air. So much of any year is flammable. Lists of vegetables, partial palms, orange swirling flame of days. So little is a stone. Where there was something and suddenly isn't, an absence shouts, celebrates, leaves a space. I begin again with the smallest numbers. Quick dance, shuffle of losses and leaves. Only the things I didn't do crackle after the blazing dies.
That's a beautiful close. Wow.
Yes.
I love that. Only the things I didn't do crackle after the blazing. Yeah, it's that reminds me of one of the poems I guess we did last week a little bit where you that there's not much left behind. Okay, and
yes,
be gone. You know, move on. you know, I think that's sort of a an indication of optimism about what lies ahead. Although it's probably cause for some apprehension as well.
Yes.
I mean, people know where they've been. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So much of any year is flammable. Lists of vegetables, partial palms, orange swirling flame of days. So little is a stone. I thought that was very moving and very telling. You know, so much of any year is flammable. So looking back, you know, how much stays? How much is really a stone? And that's a question. That's an important question.
Right. You consume experience, right, in a certain way. And, you know, your opportunities to return to it, there's many, but, time drives you forward, right? So you're, you know, you're always facing the an unknown compared to what just passed, which you now sort of know, right? But what's coming next, you don't. And maybe that's a pattern of the changes with levels of instability, although it's hard to come up with one way to measure instability. You know, like weather, like bad weather, you know, for 100 years. An ice age creeps in, you know, like in the 13th or 14th century there. You know, do everybody's spirits alter, you know, in terms of their expectations? Probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much warfare?
So, yeah, that was a beautiful poem about the transitory nature of things and what can be burnt and what remains. And last line, you know, about only the things I didn't do remain, I thought that was very telling and very, I don't know if I would have written that line, but I thought that was a very powerful line.
Now, I hear her voice. She's, I would more be drawn toward myself, toward things that, like people that passed on, you know, during the year that I knew.
Yes.
Okay, that would be, including my cat. You know,
the great Wally.
The great Wally, right. I mean, I would sort of be pulled, you know, I wouldn't view that in the same way as, you know, letters, notes, transparent mm-hmm. scarlet paper. I wouldn't, things of a New Year's celebration kind of thing. That actually wouldn't be the first thing that comes to mind, but I understand, you know, she has a, I love the way Naomi sets things up in her poems, okay? Sometimes
yes.
I think she writes the end and then devises, you know, a path to get there. So, but...
She's a brilliant poet and one of my favorites, one of my poetic heroes.
Yeah, I mean, she... and she works at it too. It's interesting how she applies,
and she gives back to the poetic community very much.
Right.
I mean, she's not one of those poets that just, you know, are isolated, write their poet in an ivory tower. She gives back to the community. She has anthologies. She does work with young people. She's
right.
An amazing woman.
Right. I think we saw her in was it in Frederick that we saw her?
Yes, we did.
She did a reading there. It was very nice. I know she even got one of our young boys in Quaker, whatever the Quaker first day school, to pay attention to a poem. And he, his mother thought that was not going to be possible. But it was. And, which is just a tribute to how Naomi connects you know,
yes.
With her audience when she's reading too. She's very direct, and you feel like you know her when you probably don't, but you feel like she has a very open presence. But so, I don't think everybody could do that.
So anyhow, my other poetic hero is up next, Jane Hirschfield. Jane Hirschfield is about the same age as Naomi, just a little bit younger, a little bit younger than I am. And Jane Hirschfield, she's a Buddhist. She was in a Zen monastery for a while. She's done many different things.
Right.
But she is a beautiful, she has a beautiful restrained style. And when she reads, I saw her read once at the Dodge Festival, and people were applauding after the poems, and she stopped them, and she said, "These poems don't necessarily require applause," and the whole audience fell dead silent, and the rest of her reading was done in silence, with everybody just rapt. It was amazing.
You know, you have to have quite a presence to be able to, you know, instruct the audience that they're applause is inappropriate. It's great.
Anyhow, she's got a luminous presence. She's an amazing woman.
I know.
And this
No,
is
she is.
called Counting This New Year's Morning, What Powers Yet Remain to Me. And this is a totally different take on the new year. So this is Jane Hirschfield. The world asks, as it asks daily, and what can you make? Can you do to change my deep broken, fractured? I count this first day of a new year, what remains? I have a mountain, a kitchen, two hands. Can admire with two eyes the mountains, actual, recalcitrant, shuffling its pebbles, sheltering foxes and beetles. Can make black-eyed peas and collards. Can make from last year's late ripening persimmons a pudding. Can climb a stepladder, change the bulb with a track light. For 4 years, I woke each day first to the mountain, then to the question. The feet of the new sufferings followed the feet of the old, and still they surprised. I brought salt, brought oil to the question, brought sweet tea, brought postcards and stamps. For 4 years, each day, something. Stone did not become apple. War did not become peace. Yet joy still stays joy. Sequins stay sequins. Words still bespangle, bewilder. Today, I woke without answer. The day answers, unpockets a thought from a friend. Don't despair of this falling world. Not yet. Didn't it give you the asking?
That's quite Buddhist, I would say. I mean, when
Yeah.
you the opening and closing lines, and what can you make? What can you do to change my deep, broken, fractured? Of course, fractured what? But that's like, one hand a one hand clapping type of expression,
Yes.
and you're. You're just forced to leave it where it is and move on. I there's an art to doing that that she does very nicely, and that I couldn't possibly repeat, I don't think.
No.
So
And
I'm
that
wondering.
beautiful turn where stone did not become apple. War did not become peace, yet joy still stays joy. That reminds me of a comment a friend made that in times like these, joy is a subversive act. Don't ever let them take your joy. And I won't discuss the occasion of that comment, but that comment was made to me years ago.
I think there's a lot going on there. By the way, what is sequins here? Sequins. Is that just like the things on dresses or something? Or
Yes, the
what
little
is?
sparkly things. It's just saying, joy remains
Okay.
joy, sparkle remains sparkle, words
Okay.
still bespangle, bewildered.
Right.
So its sequence goat leads into the bespangle, words still bespangle, bewildered.
Yeah, this like for 4 years I woke each day first to the mountain, then to the question. The feet of the new sufferings followed the feet of the old, and still they surprised. I like that. That's a
That's a beautiful line.
very nice. And
And just so.
I don't feel like I have to know what it means. except that it means something.
Well, certainly the feet of the new sufferings of the world follows the feet of the new sufferings of the old world.
But still they
We're
surprise.
not at peace. The world is not at peace. There are wars raging, hot wars raging, too many places.
Do you know how old this poem actually is?
It was published in her collection, The Asking, and The Asking came out before the new year, so it was probably, so I don't know when it was written. It gives a, it's a title poem actually of her new and selected poems, The Asking, which is a marvelous book. One should own it.
But did that come out years ago or is it
But no,
recent?
it came out last year.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
It was her newest new and selected poems,
Oh,
which
okay.
I don't think she's ever done before.
All right. Right.
Nice hardback I bought.
Very
I
interesting. Yeah.
couldn't resist.
Well,
I don't buy poetry in hardback very often, but I bought this one.
well, I really like that one. So, do you have a you said you had a W.S. Merwin poem, and but
Yes.
I don't know that I got that in the mail. If I did,
Okay, well,
I did
I'll pull
something
it
to it.
up. Let me get back to my email.
Anyway,
That's not it.
I had the ones from I had the one from Jane Hursfield,
Do
and
you
I
have
have
Denise Levertov's poem?
no, I don't have that either. I must have done something to it because I have the other two, but I don't know what happened to
Yeah.
those.
Okay, well, this is the Merwin poem. And
Okay.
it's just a beautiful, it's like many of Merwin poems, it's very still, very quiet, very understated, but very beautiful. And again, like many of his poems, it's written with absolutely without punctuation, but it still reads very clearly, which is an art that I never have learned.
Yeah, right. I heard that.
It's called To the New Year. W.S. Merwin. With what stillness at last you appear in the valley, your first sunlight reaching down to touch the tips of a few high leaves that do not stir, as though they had not noticed and did not know you at all. And then the voice of a dove calls, and from far away in itself to the hush of morning. So this is the sound of you. Here and now, whether or not anyone hears it, this is where we have come with our age, our knowledge, such as it is, and our hopes, such as they are, invisible before us, untouched, and still possible.
Right. And now I think that grasps a very important distinction on New Year's, so that you're reminded that there it's late, but everything comes next. I think that's
Yes.
that Elizabeth Alexander line from that poem she wrote for Barack Obama. But it's a similar perspective is that it's very difficult to be completely pessimistic
That
because
beautiful line, our knowledge, such as it is, and our hopes, such as they are,
such as they
invisible
are.
before us.
Right, exactly.
Untouched and still possible. So that idea
Absolutely.
that our hopes are still possible is very strong in this
It's
poem.
and it's powerful. He captures that moment, I think, that beautifully.
And it comes out of the stillness where he's talking about dawn, you know, what stillness at last you appear in the sun valley. So I thought that that was just a very beautiful, very moving poem.
Any chance you could read that one again?
Sure. To the New Year by W.S. Merwin. With what stillness at last you appear in the valley, your first sunlight reaching down to touch the tips of a few high leaves that do not stir, as though they had not noticed and did not know you at all. Then the voice of a dove calls from far away in itself to the hush of the morning. So this is the sound of you. Here and now, whether or not anyone hears it, this is where we have come with our age, our knowledge, such as it is, our hopes, such as they are, invisible before us, untouched, and still possible.
Wow. Yeah, I like that one. That's my fave so far. I like that one a lot.
I thought that was just a very moving, very beautiful poem.
Right. I mean, there's lots of possibilities before us, even though there's, you know, the surf is
and hope still
pretty
before
high.
Us.
Yep. Yeah. Have you been observing that there's very high waves in the Pacific?
Yes, I saw that.
I mean, I'm events like that, you know, big climatic or geologic, I don't know, events that happen in your lifetime, right? It's difficult to see this to think through, but I they can't help but have a dramatic impact, right? For example, the pandemic, right? That just went like a scourge through, and still not gone yet completely, but through the whole population of the planet. And, you know, so it's a memory that, you know, a thing from the past, right, that you probably can't help but carry with you into the future.
Yes. My grandson, John, was 6 when the pandemic started. And he once said to me, "I hate this coronavirus. I want to build a trap that it can get in and not get out." And I just thought that was so moving coming from a 6-year-old.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, well, the kids that were in school, especially the younger, there was tremendous loss of learning that occurred.
Yes.
And a whole lifestyle, you know, change that's still, maybe some people have moved completely past, but I think Carol and I are still strongly impacted by it. I mean, we don't go out to restaurants the same way. We don't do, you know, I mean, we basically, we don't do as much, right? The socializing, going to public meetings of different kinds, all kinds. So a lifestyle change that's probably still going on 4 or 5 years at a time. That's a shadow or a memory you take with you. Like it would be similar if you were probably in war or in some other, you know. I mean, trauma can take lots of different forms or incidents. That's just my thought on that. But
yes,
that's kind of.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
No, it's just one of the reasons why I like the W.S. Merwin poem, because I thought it just captures that transition from what you carried with you, as much as you know, as much of this kind of thing. You know, it's your knapsack is not empty as you cross the threshold into the future. And I like the way that he captures that, along with the possibility, untouched, right? Something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just think that's just marvelous. I'm so glad you found that one. That's great.
Anyhow, and then this next poem is my favorite. We're getting away from trauma. We're continuing on the theme of hope. It's called On the New Year, 1981 by Denise Levertov. And it has been relevant absolutely every year since it was written. And it's especially relevant, I think, this year. So it's For the New Year, 1981 by Denise Levertov. I have a small grain of hope. One small crystal that gleams clear colors out of transparency. I need more. I break off a fragment to send to you. Please take this grain of hope so that mine won't shrink. Please share your fragment so that yours will grow. Only so, by division, will hope increase, like a clump of irises, which will cease to flower unless you distribute the clustered roots, unlikely source, clumsy and earth-covered, of grace.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's, you know, she's what
she had a deep faith.
Used to call in the 30s, you know, a communist poet. So, very interesting.
I have a small grain of hope.
Right, right.
One small crystal that gleams clear colors out of transparency. I need more. I break off a fragment to send you. Please take this grain of a grain of hope so that mine won't shrink. Please share your fragment so that yours will grow. Only so by division will hope increase, like a clump of irises, which will cease to flower unless you distribute the clustered roots, unlikely source, clumsy and earth-covered of grace. So I have a small grain of hope, and I'm breaking it off and giving it to the audience. Please share.
That's really great. You know, only so by division will hope increase. So, I mean, this is a little like, you know, Jesus, you know, dividing his fish amongst the 5,000, or amongst the assembled, and or a little bit like you know, the solidarity messages of the labor movement has a similar spirit to it, and I also think that that's a great way to greet the new year with a little more sharing, and people taking them as they may have to. People tend to do things they have to do. And so when it becomes necessary to take care of each other, we do more of it, and we start to learn how to do it better. So I think that that's, you know, maybe another version of taking your hope. But unless it's shared, well, if it is shared,
it
can grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great, I mean, it's a good message. It's a good way to frame a resolution almost for a new year,
mm-hmm.
Because it binds you in spirit to a certain way to look at the things you aspire for, and you know, you can ask yourself, well, are they things that anybody else can aspire to as well? It's a good way, I think, to reflect upon the things you most want.
So the last two poems explicitly address hope. And I think, like joy, in times like this, hope is a subversive act. So don't let them take your hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow.
And well, share it. Break off and share it.
I think that's a great close. And Should we terminate the podcast at this point? I think we could. You know, do you?
Yes, I think so, John.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for reading them, and a wonderful balance and different tones, and maybe different notes in a tune here to greet the new year. Thank you so much. All right, everybody, we'll be back next week, as long as we're able, Wednesdays, 10 a.m., The Poetry Show on www.enlightenradio.org. Take care of each other. As I said, it's late, but everything comes next.